I got butterflies for this one. I can't wait. Guys, what is going on? Hope your week is going amazing. I know mine is with this new Alpha Brain from Onnit. I feel so much more focused and determined to get shit done, period. No matter, you know, what task it is, it gives me that little extra motivation to get out of bed and do it. Literally, just get on it. I can't believe the school year is about to start. It feels like summer literally just started, but anyway, really ready to get back at it. This podcast is sponsored by Momentum Digital. I am a digital associate there, and we are the premier digital marketing firm in Philadelphia, specializing in search engine optimization, social media management, and web design. You can check our website out at needmomentum.com. Today's guest on the podcast is AJ Picard, founder of the Chat app. The Chat app is a new form of social media focusing on solid conversations and true bonding between users. With Chat, AJ provides location-based chat rooms to allow users and businesses to talk to groups of people anytime, anywhere. With that said, I hope you all have a great start to the school year. Have the best school year you ever had. Absolutely murder it. Let's kill it together. With that said, enjoy. Apple Play or whatever?
Yeah, Apple CarPlay. You just plug your phone in and like your phone's pretty much mirrored on like your dashboard of your car. Like you can have messages, your phone, you got Siri. It's pretty dope.
Oh, damn, dude. I'm only 21. I got a shitty Ford Taurus. Hauling my ass around. You know what I mean?
Who cares? At least you got a car.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to count your blessings.
Yeah, bro.
That's so funny.
But you
didn't
get this started, man.
Yeah, bro. Hold on. Let me get us set up right now.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. 3, 2, 1. AJ Picard, my fucking man, via LinkedIn. What is good, my man? How are you?
I'm great, man. Just out here living the dream.
Yeah. So where were you telling me before the before we started? What were we just finished up doing?
Yeah, well, I'm currently kind of in an accelerator in New York City. It's called 2020 Startups. Accelerators are pretty much, for those who don't know, like I explain them as tutors for your business. They kind of sit you down, help break down your company, how you're going to go to market, give you some great insight, mentors to pick their brains. A bunch of good resources as well, networking events. So that's in New York, been doing that, trying to create a new social media app called Chad, and we're looking to change the way we connect with one another by providing location-based chat rooms. So we're currently in development, got my technical co-founder on board, and currently raising our seed round here in hopes to get funded so that we can really get to market as quickly as we can.
Yeah, that sounds like you guys have a solid plan from what like we were talking about via LinkedIn. I mean, honestly, like to any tips, like to any, you know, young entrepreneurs out there, what kind of tips do you have to get started via like, you know, any industry, e-commerce, marketing, making an app?
Yeah.
What kind of tips would you give to them?
Yeah, well, great question. I started an app. I'm a huge gamer, so I started an app Gaming Yingle. The app would help gamers find new video games to play for whatever platforms they had. So, it really taught me the whole ins and outs of, like, the app business and whatnot. But I think for, you know, some, I guess, feedback and wanting to go into entrepreneurship is, you know, you want to do your due diligence. Like, you really want to make sure that you want to find out your competition and how you're different and what problem you're solving. And then more importantly, you really want to know, how a startup works and what goes into that. So you want to know the whole investing, talking to angel investors, talking to venture capitalists, what's the difference between them. A lot of it is doing it on your own. Honestly, I learned more doing it on my own than actually going to school. I think the best advice I can give is just doing it. You know, a lot of people have great ideas, but a lot of people don't act on them. And I think one of the best, you know, that I heard was, if you have an idea for a company or a startup that you want to think of, and if you think out of 7 billion people in the world that you're the only person that has thought of that idea, then you're an idiot, because I guarantee so you at least 10 other people have thought of that idea. It's just you're the only one that's really acting on it. So, you know, my argument is, I bet you how many people thought of Facebook, but Mark Zuckerberg was the only person to actually put his head down and do it. So I think that's what's really going to separate the whole dreamers from doers. And if you have an idea, just go with it, man. I'm all about just going full throttle and really taking that giant leap and quitting your job and, you know, just going and finding ways to save money, moving back in with your parents and just hustling.
Yeah. Honestly, that's where I'm at now. I'm at a crossroads where I'm going to be a junior. Literally, I leave for Penn State, you know, tomorrow. So that's really exciting. I'm moving in with my best friends. It's going to be cool and everything. But I mean, we got to get a degree. Like, there's this whole idea of like, oh, we need to get a big house. I don't know if you're familiar with Grant Cardone. I'm really getting into real estate. I don't know if you've really explored that industry, but I'm really looking to get into, you know, multi-unit apartment buildings, buying those. I want to get at least 5 before I graduate college. But it's like people get, I feel like, just wrapped around the fact that they need to go to college, they need to get a big house. Like, most of the people can't even do that. They can't even afford it. You know, we're all taking out loans. So it's a fugazi in some aspects. You know what I mean?
Yep, totally agree.
It's just
totally agree. I mean, I was blessed enough to be a student athlete, so I didn't have any loans, and I was able to, you know, the money that was coming in right after I graduated, I didn't have to put anywhere, so I was able to put where I wanted to, which was, you know, in the stock market or for my app that I was creating, and I was, you know, I was blessed, and God was able to give me those blessings. But, you know, when it comes to school, you know, I do have mixed feelings about it. It is something that, you know, you do need a piece of paper, especially to get into a job and get your feet wet. But at the same time, in my opinion, it is also way too expensive, and it's not getting you the bang for your buck. I mean, I like I said earlier in this, I learned way more from just doing things on my own and watching YouTube than actually what I've learned in school.
Exactly. Because, dude, a lot of my advertising classes and PR and marketing, you know, they're all traditional stuff. There's no digital aspect of it all. There's no talking about apps. There's just talk about newspapers, TVs, billboards. It's like, guys, what are we living in the 1960s? Like, it's literally just so outdated. So it's just the classes, as you can imagine, are totally, you know, worthless at this point. It's just, you know, literally just getting that piece of paper.
I was a business major, and my parents were both entrepreneurs, and
oh, awesome.
I grew up in that whole setting and everything, and going through school with business and all that. But from this 3 months at this accelerator program this summer, I've learned more in this 3 months than I have my whole lifetime and through school.
Wow.
Yeah. This accelerator program didn't take any equity. It was just a administration fee to join the group, because they're more of like a marketing accelerator. But it was only $2,500, and I'm getting all this knowledge and connections and, you know, all these benefits for that price compared to what you're paying for school.
Yeah, exactly. That at, you know, $2,500, like, compared to school is literally nothing, dude. That's chump change. Yeah, so you're definitely just the networking alone is that's enough to pay off. 100%. What sports you playing in college? I didn't even know about that.
I played basketball.
Oh shit! All right. What position? Yep.
Point guard. I went to this Division II school in Delaware called Goldie Beacom. I pretty much went because I wanted to go as high as I could, because everyone in high school thinks they're going to the NBA.
Right.
And I thought it's Division I. I wasn't, and but you know, I did want to go to Division II. And it definitely helped me out a lot there. And my first 2 years was amazing. And then my third year, we were terrible. And my mom was also watching my sister play ball too. And she was bouncing back and forth from PA to Delaware. And I wanted to go to the tournament So what I did my senior year was transferred to Cabrini University and was there for 1 year, but ended up breaking my foot 10 games in. So, but
oh, really good experience, that, bro. Oh, my God.
I missed the red shirt by a game. Can't stand the NCAA.
Yeah.
But
dude, that's crazy.
It was fun. And then I tried going overseas, and that didn't work out, and I just decided to kind of go full throttle on the whole business thing.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, for me, dude, I played ball all up until high school, and I was one of those kids who I was literally like 5'10 when I was 13 years old, and that's the height I'm at right now. So it's like,
yeah.
I'm like, fuck me, right? Like, those genetics couldn't even carry over. I'm the healthiest guy I know, so I can't even grow a couple more inches, not even bump me up to 6 feet, because I can dunk it. Come on, son.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm 6 foot, and I can't dunk.
Yeah. It's those plyometrics, baby. We gotta grind on that.
that whole lifting thing is out the door for me, bro.
Yeah.
Can't stand it.
Yeah, I feel that. It's just day in and day out, it just takes a toll on you. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. That's cool. I know a couple friends that go to Cabrini. They say it's not bad at all. They say it's kind of expensive.
Yeah,
or, well, for you, I guess it wasn't, but.
It was, it's expensive school, for sure, for what you're getting.
Yeah.
Like 35 or something.
God damn, are you serious? That's why I'm paying at Penn State.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you were just chilling, though. You were just student athlete.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah, who's been going to school and pushing my app on the side, so it was fun.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, honestly, just do this podcast until I get enough viewership where I could get sponsors. Like, you know, you'll see in the beginning of this, I shout out On It, like the marketing company I'm at. So if I get sponsored by them, I mean, like, you ever heard of Alpha Brain, the nootropic, however the fuck you call it? So it's just like, it's supposedly a diet pill where you take and it just makes you focused. So somebody like me, I have ADHD where it's not even that bad. It's just my mind on a daily basis is kind of foggy where I need like a million cups of coffee. So I'm like totally blown out, wired. By the time noon rolls around. But with this, dude, it's solid. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to grind with that.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely look into that. I got ADD too, man.
Hey, join the club, bro.
Yeah.
I'll send a billion people.
That's why I sucked at school.
Yeah. Dude, I got this, what is it? You ever take Spanish in school?
Yeah,
I see. It was nice for me because I got a couple, like, my ex-girlfriends were, like, one was Puerto Rican and then the other was Colombian. So they just taught me Spanish out the wazoo. I didn't, like, the traditional Spanish I didn't even pick up. But, like, with them, it was just so much easier. But I'm taking
I had to get a tutor.
That's good. Yeah.
I had to get a tutor. I was terrible, man. It was awful.
Yeah, with all those conjugations and shit, fucking forget about it. Like, fuck that. Past perfect.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, the future tenses and the past tenses, Jesus Christ, just a whirlwind.
Yeah, I've trouble learning new things that I really don't care about. And that's why I struggled with school. You know, if it doesn't involve basketball, technology, social media, I really don't care about it.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel like I want to definitely learn Spanish fluently, but it's just I'm a gamer myself. Like, I was literally playing UFC like this morning. I was packing my Xbox up. I was like crying. I was like, dude, I'm not going to be able to play for like for like 5 hours. No, it's not even that bad, but you know what I mean though? I'm just like any game, dude, I just love. I'm like, you know, sports, want to say like Halo, you know, COD, just like the average game like that. Since I was a, you know, little kid, I really do think I want to do a case study about video games and I don't know about being an entrepreneur, but just being more innovative. You know what I mean? I really think that helps with the average person.
I'm not gonna lie to you. You know, I'm a huge nerd. I've been playing a lot of, you know, I've always played like World of Warcraft and like Elder Scrolls and like all these like really RPG open world games because I get super bored easily. Like, I can't do a Call of Duty. I can't do sports games. I can't do any of that because I'm too focused on strategy and building a character that's representing me. And most importantly, going into battle and competing against other players and wanting to win that way. So those games I just listed are, like, huge in that. So I was at that. I've been playing that since, like, 2004.
And oh, wow.
What gaming does for me is, you know, I don't play it as much, like, now, even though the new World of Warcraft did just come out. I might do, like, a couple, like, an hour or two a week because I don't have time.
Yeah.
But, like, it really relieves stress for me, mm-hmm. and it helps me, like, chill with my friends online. But I think what it really does is it really helps me at a young age be super creative, because I'm in, like, a fantasy land, and I'm thinking about always constantly how to maybe improve the game, and, like, the struggles that I might in each patch that I liked and didn't like. You know, it always had me thinking on, hey, why doesn't Blizzard, who makes World of Warcraft, do this, or when are they implementing this? And it was just, like, video games I really feel like helped shape, like, my creative mind. And, you know, I wish I could definitely take back how much time I did spend on there. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it really helped shape me to who I am as a person right now.
Yeah, I totally agree, dude. Ever since I was, you know, I want to say I started around when I was, like, you know, 10 years older, or maybe even earlier than that. But, I mean, you think of the games now compared to back then. These kids, like, these young-ass kids just doing Fortnite and PUBG, where you can really be creative in that aspect. Now, World of War, all the games you listed, that's awesome, because you could really explore. That's where the, you know, the creative mindset comes, and that's why we're both entrepreneurs, because, like, we envision things that aren't a reality yet, and we think, oh, how can we make this better, how can, you know, I make myself better while making everybody else better. And it's just,
yeah. So are you have you this is your first year at Penn State?
No, so I'm gonna be a junior this year, right? I went to a branch campus in Altoona. Shout out PSU Altoona for 2 years, just because it's cheaper for me. I really wasn't big about the whole, like, main campus, like, millions of people there, because I really wanted to get off to a good start academically. And I, you know, my focus, you know, there was chicks running around, like, you know, everybody's partying. Yeah, you know, there's no way I would have, like, focused up there. But with Altoona, they're still partying and all that, but at a lower level. Like, there's, you know, I want to say 4,000 people there. So it's just, you know, a lot less people there. So more of a focus for me. But yeah, I'm going to be junior this year, finish it up next year, and go out in the real world, kill it.
Yeah. So, like, what I was going to say is, like, you know, for me personally, I've never really been in New York, and, you know, what Chad is trying to do, the app I'm creating, is if you haven't been to your campus, or, you know, maybe you're a freshman, and let's just say you're on Penn State, Maine, and you have no clue what's going on, you know, you would be able to jump into Chad, and there would be chat rooms in that area that you can jump into, or you could create your own chat room saying, like, hey, guys, freshman here. Like, maybe a title, like, hey, what's there to do? And at Penn State, as a freshman or something, and people in that area can kind of jump in and say, hey, you know, these are, like, the most popular food places. This is, like, events that happen on the university, at the university each weekend or week. You know, these are the party houses, and kind of get people, new people, up to speed about a location that they might not be familiar with. You know, and I always thought about people visiting Philadelphia for the first time, and we're known for cheesesteaks. And, you know, you can go on Yelp and you can go on Google, but it's a lot of, like, washed out ratings and opinions. And why not ask the ecosystem personally, or the people in that environment? And if you put a chat room in Philadelphia labeled, like, hey, what are the best cheesesteaks? And people in Philadelphia are jumping in there and suggesting places to go, it's now become, social media is now becoming, you know, our platform is becoming more personal, and we just feel like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, even LinkedIn, you know, you can't do what we're doing. You know, it's more about following people, seeing their pictures and videos, maybe sliding in their DMs and having, like, a simple conversation, but it's not talking to groups of people at any location you want, you know, and that's what we really want to do. We really want to spark conversation.
Yeah, I could tell, because I was browsing through your website, and it just seems like it's a lot more genuine because, to be honest, you know, I'm in marketing, so my whole job basically is just to grow brands. And like you said, Google itself is just completely outdated. I mean, yeah, you're going to find, if you're not from that area, you're going to have no clue where the good cheesesteak places are, where the good bars are, where the good places to hang out.
You're going to go to Pat's and Gino's.
Exactly.
It's a tourist trap. And when you Google that and you get that on Yelp, I mean, that's what they're going to suggest because everyone's going there. You know, like, you're not going to hear about Del Sandro's or Steve's or any of these other places, you know?
Hey, I'm glad you said that. Del Sandro's is my favorite. That's
my
awesome.
Favorite. Yeah, Del Sandro's my favorite, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, but like, what I, you know, just, I just really am, you know, I'm starting small, man. And, like, can you imagine you being a marketer and you're working for, let's say you're working for a cafe up in Penn State. And they're like, hey, we want you to market our cafe to people and get more people in here. You know, if Chad is out, you could, and there's people in Penn State, and we have a good user base and following. Imagine creating a chat room for that cafe, and now people are able to kind of jump into that cafe's chat room because they're in that area, and they'll be able to see your menu, they'll be able to see your address, they'll be able to ask people. Or you, like, what are the most popular items? What are you guys known for? The cafe yourself could host, like, I mean, could update people in the room about maybe some specials, some events that might be happening, some happy hours, whatever it may be. And now people, businesses and users are communicating on a personal basis. The business is marketing more effectively. You know, you're not paying an Instagram or Facebook to create an ad in hopes that it gets in front of your customers' timelines, and if it does, what are the chances the customer actually reads it? You know, so now you automatically, you're almost forced to have a conversation with your customers because they're in a centralized location, which is your own chat room.
Yeah, precisely. Because then it's not, you're just overlooking it. I mean, I can tell you right now, just through email campaigns, ads, you know, a 5% conversion rate is amazing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You don't see people genuinely getting, you know, those ROIs because they think it's all spam. They think they're just trying to make money. I mean, yeah, we are, but like, it's not genuine. I feel like, you know, for me, Gary Vee is a big influencer of mine because he really emulates.
I don't know, man. I was a huge fan of him. I'm not so much anymore.
Really? What happened?
I was with him since the get-go. He maybe had 10,000 followers when I started following him, so a couple years ago. And he was just so much more raw and personal. And it's okay, I understand, and congrats to him. You know, he's grown so much. There's only one Gary Vee, there can't be multiple. So a lot of the content I still, you know, enjoy and like watching. But a lot of the content is super repetitive, and which is okay because he has to continue to, you know, I guess market or say his pitch in the same, you know, pretty much the same hustle taglines and all that. But what really upsets me is that his Instagram and his Twitter, you know, his Instagram isn't even run by him. You know, I can just tell.
Oh yeah, and, dude, it's all his workers. Yeah, he barely touches any of this shit.
And yeah, that's what frustrated me, you know, because I felt like, well, you know, I was following Gary Vee because I felt like he was an influencer / businessman that I could connect personally with. I can't tell you how many times in the beginning he responded to my comments. I can't tell you, I had his Twitter notifications on. He randomly said, drop your number, I'll call you. I was like one of the first ones to reply. He called me.
Are you
serious?
We
had a conversation. Yeah, I've had a conversation with him.
What did you guys talk about?
You know, he was just like, how's everything going? I told him what I'm doing and everything. This was like a couple years ago. And I was really shook. So I didn't really ask him to meet. But, you know, I've tried countless times what he suggested people to do to get in touch with him. And, you know, I've even asked him, like, hey, can we get 10 minutes worth of coffee? You know, I just want to, like, run my, you know, just to talk and
running 2 cents by him, yeah.
Yeah, run my 2 cents. And, you know, he literally tweeted back and said no. And, like, that's cool, you know, but don't tell people to do that if you're going to be, you know, just mean back.
Yeah, exactly. You know? If you're not going to walk the walk.
Yeah. Yeah, like, but I also understand his perspective because he also has thousands of people asking that a day. So I understand he wants to be quick with his responses. But it was just like, it was almost like, damn, you know, I've been here since the beginning. You know that because you know, he does do a great job of making sure he does remember you. And you're going to go, I've been here since the very start, and you can't just give me, you know, 5 or 7 minutes. You know, I'm a huge fan of yours. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm in this, you know, I'm in the space that you invest in, you know? And I was just like, and I heard some other stories, you know, one of the teammates of mine in this program met with him for their app, and they've been developing tons of traction, and pretty much it's a new freelancing app where it's called WANME. It's like word of mouth. Okay. So what they think is, you know how we have Upwork and Fiverr that you can go and get a higher freelancer?
Yeah.
Like $10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like a lot of the times the quality of work is crap or it's hard to kind of keep in touch with them. And what they're doing is, you know, you upload your contacts to this app and then you tell the app what you specifically are good at. And now your friends, now it's a friends network of people suggesting, like, hey, Sean, you're a podcaster, right? My buddy, I have you as my network. So when someone comes onto this app and they look at my profile, they see you under my profile as a podcaster, and they can reach out to you and ask you to be on your podcast. You know, it's a more legitimate, yeah. I guess, like network. You know, like, hey, my buddy Sean, you're a graphic designer. And you've already told the app that you charge $15 an hour. So when someone comes to my page, they see you're under my network. Oh, AJ knows Sean. He's a graphic designer, and he charges $15 an hour. You know, and that way I know you. So it's more
of a trust thing. It's more like you would rather do that instead of like going to like a LinkedIn or like a Facebook or just like you know, that kind of thing. Okay,
right,
I like that.
You can also use it to network. Because I mean, how hard is it to find like developers, right? So like,
exactly.
If you know friends and they're joining the app and they're creating a network, like a feed of people that specialize in certain things, I could go to your profile to see who you know that might be able to help me. And if I go to you and you're like, hey, I know this developer, let me introduce you, and the developer comes on board and I pay them, WANME will give you a commission for introducing me to them.
Really?
So they got a really good business model going on. And
Gary
V was pretty much, yeah, it's really cool. And you can, that's Facebook, you know, it makes it easy. But Gary V pretty much told them that they're wasting their time and that they're two good looking guys and they should be worried about being an influencer on Instagram, like modeling sneakers or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But then he preaches like, don't let anyone tell you no. Don't let anyone persuade you away from your idea. Go all in, you know, and it was just like, I don't know how you could say that when you're preaching something else.
Yeah, it left a bad taste in your mouth. I know what you mean.
Yeah,
dude, that's crazy.
You know
I can't
I mean?
Believe he said that. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, I know. So
my whole thing with him was I really have only been starting him. Like, our CEO, Mac Frederick, for Momentum Digital, the place I'm working at now, he's really big on him. So I was really trying to get in. You know, I was trying to kiss his ass a little bit, like, you know, new guy on the block, because I was an intern this summer and I was actually promoted to, like, you know, part-time worker. I'm gonna hopefully go there full-time after college, then from there just make my own investing marketing company, you know, the whole nine yards, you can understand. I'm really just not trying to work full-time, you know, and just learn everything I can as quick as possible just to start my own business. With that said, my whole point with him was he seemed very anti, like, you want to provide value. You don't want to just go after the dollar signs, like just bringing, you know, consistent value to your customer. That's what we preach, because we're a small business and we actually do a segment every single Saturday called Small Business Saturday, as you can imagine. Yeah, it's pretty catchy in Philly. We get everybody under the sun who's a small business. We give them free advertising. We do like a 5-minute video interviewing the owner, just talking about what their business is, how they got started, what makes them unique. And it's really cool. We just give back in the community, and that's our thing that we do, and that's how we gain traction. But the whole thing, it's not even Gary Vee. You look at anybody who's really made it mainstream and gone viral, they always have people do, like Conor McGregor, for instance, like, you know how he always has a flashy Instagram, like the man, I envy his Instagram, because he's, you know, he gets a million likes, like he literally posted a Freaky Friday, he's like Happy Friday Freaks or something like that, and, you know, he's all like Gucci'd up and his, you know, limo and whatnot, and he gets like a million likes in I want to say like an hour, like he absolutely kills it, and like him and Ronaldo, but like, you know that he has people along with Gary Vee, along with Tony Robbins, Grant Cardone, all those people, except for like, you know, a couple other, you know, people that are big and they don't really want to waste time on having somebody manage their Instagram. They have people all over the place, you know, managing their Instagram, their social media in general. So it's just, it's really hard to be sincere when you're that big. I feel like that's like the main problem.
Yeah, I didn't want it to come off like Gary Vee's a fraud or whatever. I'm not saying that. I love him as a person. It's just I stopped following him because I felt like his content was just getting drowned out and it wasn't him anymore. You know, I just stopped really like being watching like a ton of his videos and whatnot because I just felt like it was just he was getting too mainstream, and that's okay. You know, and I was still able to learn a ton from him, but in all means, I didn't want it to seem like I was like talking down on the guy.
No, I know what you mean, bro. Yeah, it's all good. Listen, nobody's perfect. We all have our things with, you know, everybody in this world. So,
yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah. Man, I got like, you know, I don't know if you have any more questions. I have like 3 minutes. I have an interview for a business TV show at like 2 p.m. that I might be on.
Yeah, I just so want to ask you one more thing. So. Yeah. Basically, you gave like some tips like for young entrepreneurs like myself and others that are going to be listening to this. How long, because I'm interested in creating an app myself, how did that process begin? How long did it take? What did you do to build the app, the chat app? Not you specifically, but you know what I mean? Get the developer and whatnot.
Yeah. Okay. So to be honest with you, every app's development cycle is going to be way different, and no developer, no company is going to be like, it's going to take this long, and just based off, like, you telling them what the app is about. You really got to sit down with them, explain each feature, explain, you know, each functionality, everything you want, and, you know, that's the whole figuring out the life cycle of the development phase. Now, mind you, we don't have an app yet. You know, I've been through that phase before, so I understand how, you know, how long this might take and how much is going to go into it. So I've been at it since probably November 2017. My company registered early April. I brought a co-founder on board from Instagram. He had a ton of following, and his name was, you know, I'm going to keep his name. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to, you know, people to go on his Instagram or anything like that. But yeah. Pretty much I trusted his portfolio and everything, and then I emailed some of the people that he said he worked with. They ended up emailing me back saying that they never worked with him, so it should have been a red flag. I ignored it because I was like, he has a following, so he definitely should be legit, and I wanted to get this app out there as soon as I could, so I brought him on board. He ended up taking about $7,500 from me and not giving me anything. Yeah, so I ended up getting screwed, and the problem I had was I wasn't patient enough, and I didn't realize how much you really have to get to know someone that might be your co-founder. So my thing to you is, if you're going to develop an app, you really want to understand the process of it, you know, the design process, the back end stuff, the front end stuff, and you want to find a developer. In my opinion, if you really want to start an app, you want to find a developer that is going to come on board as a co-founder, if that's for equity, if that's for money, whatever it may be, because to be honest, getting an app off the ground is super difficult, especially because there's billions of apps out there. So a lot of these apps need funding, and in order to get funding, investors want to see teams. They want to know that there's a technical co-founder on board, and that's probably the most important role, because if you don't have funds, they will know that your app will continue to progress because your technical co-founder can code and can continue to code. You're not paying anyone. And so if you pay like a company, they're just going to leave you out to dry. You know, they're going to continue to charge you. If you pay a freelance developer, they're going to continue to charge you. And they're not on your team creating the vision that you want. They're just getting your contracts over with because they need money. So I guess if you're in the app business or industry and you want to dive in there, one, you got to make sure that your app idea isn't already taken. If it is, if there's something similar, you're gonna really figure out how you're different. And then the last thing is you really need to find a co-founder to come on board with you. And if you don't, it will be super difficult to get the app off the ground. And I'm not just saying that. And you really want to figure out, last but not least, the language that you want to code it in. Personally, for an app, your first version, you might want to, you know, there's a language called React Native. This allows you to be able to code once, but you'd be able to have an Android and iOS version of your app, which is cool. But, you know, you there are restrictions to it than coding in, like, iOS, strictly just iOS languages. You know what I mean? But you being able to get your app on both platforms will help you to, get feedback from customers or users. It'll allow you to get more users into your app, and then more importantly, it draws, investors because you have it on both platforms and you're able to get it in front of more people than just having it strictly on one platform. So yeah, that's just my opinion on things, and you really can't shortcut anything in the app industry.
AJ, you're the man, bro. I can't thank you enough. I know you're you have an interview in a couple minutes. I want to hold you back from that. Bro, I can't thank you enough for taking this interview and being on my show. I'll definitely love to have you again. We're both, hustling entrepreneurs, so I respect that. I respect your hustle. I'll definitely keep my eye out for your release and when you guys actually, make your full product out there. I can't wait to download it and definitely use it myself at Penn State. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, man. Real quick, it would be great if you could maybe put our Instagram, Twitter handle in the description, and then a link to our Slack channel. We're developing a community of people that want to test their app when it's ready, get some feedback on these people in the actual Slack channel about our designs or maybe some feature requests that they want. And we really want to learn more about our user base. So this is what the Slack channel is going to be strictly for. And my developers will be in here every day, reading and learning about what you guys want to see. So feel free to join, feel free to invite anyone you want, but I would love for you to possibly put that in your description so people can just easily tap it and join.
Consider it done, bro. Message me after this and we'll get it done. 100%, dude.
And I'll be promoting this as well, man, so you'll hear from me.
Thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Yeah, take it easy, bro. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you sometime very soon.
Yeah, you too, bro. Have a good one.
You too. Peace.